April 23, 1907. The Example and Teaching of Our Redeemer. Ellen G. White. Many see much to admire in the life of Christ, but true love for him can never dwell in the heart of the self-righteous. Not to see our own deformity is not to see the beauty of Christ's character. When we are fully awake to our own sinfulness, we shall appreciate Christ. The more humble are our views of ourselves, the more clearly we shall see the spotless character of Jesus. He who says, "I am holy, I am sinless," is self-deceived. Some have said this, and some even dare to say, "I am Christ." To entertain such a thought is blasphemy. Not to see the marked contrast between Christ and ourselves is not to know ourselves. He who does not abhor himself cannot understand the meaning of redemption. To be redeemed means to cease from sin. No heart that is stirred to rebellion against the law of God has any union with Christ, who died to vindicate the law and exalt it before all nations, tongues, and peoples. Pharisaic self-complacency and bold assumptions of holiness are abundant. There are many who do not see themselves in the light of the law of God. They do not loathe selfishness, therefore, they are selfish. Their souls are spotted and defiled. Yet with sin-stained lips they say, "I am holy." Jesus teaches me that the law of God is a yoke of bondage. Those who say that we must keep the law have fallen from grace. Christ says, "Blessed are they that do his commandments." The heavenly benediction is pronounced upon those who keep the law. They shall have right to the tree of life, the Savior declares, and shall enter in through the gates into the city. We must decide for ourselves whether or not these words will be spoken to us. A right decision will be revealed by action in harmony with the law of God. But we cannot possibly keep the commandments without the help of Christ. He alone can save us by cleansing us from all sin. He does not save us by the law, but neither will he save us in disobedience to the law. Christ draws us to himself because he has been lifted upon the cross of Calvary. He came to the world with the accumulated love of eternity. Sweeping away the exactions which had encumbered the law of God, he showed that the law is a law of love, an expression of the divine goodness. He showed that in obedience to its principles is involved the happiness of mankind, and with it the stability, the very foundation and framework of human society. The degree of our love for God depends upon the clearness and fullness of our conviction of sin. By the law is the knowledge of sin. But so far is it from making arbitrary requirements that it is given to men as a hedge, a shield. Whoever accepts its principles is preserved from evil. Fidelity to God involves fidelity to man. Thus the law not only points out sin, but it guards the rights, the individuality of every human being. It restrains the superior from oppression and the subordinate from disobedience. It ensures man's well-being, both for this world and the world to come. To the obedient, it is the pledge of eternal life, for it expresses the principles that endure forever. In his work of redemption, God is infinitely wise and just and good. And the more we see of the perils to which we have been exposed by sin, the more grateful we shall be for the deliverance he has wrought. But his plan for the redemption of the human race is not comprehended by the wisest of this earth. They may think and reason to the utmost of their ability, but they know almost nothing of the mysteries of the God who holds supervision over the universe. God has worlds upon worlds that are obedient to his law. These worlds are conducted with reference to the glory of the Creator. As these inhabitants see the great price that has been paid to ransom man, they are filled with amazement. With intense interest, they watch the controversy between Christ and Satan. And as this controversy progresses and the glory of God shines brighter and brighter, they give praise to God. And yet, because finite men can discern a little of God's marvelous power, they take the glory that belongs to the Creator. Oh, that the veil could be removed and they could see beyond their wisdom! Every mouth would cease its boasting, and men would see the greatness of the plans of God. God intends that to the earnest seeker, the truths of His Word shall be ever unfolding. The mysteries it contains are not such because God has sought to conceal truth. The inability to understand is not in His purpose, but in our inability to understand. But it is impossible for any human mind to exhaust even one truth or promise of the Bible. One catches the glory from one point of view, and another from another point. Yet we can discern only gleamings. The full radiance is beyond our vision. It will take eternity to unfold it all.